There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 940, May 23rd, 2022. Nasser.
Gracias, amigo. I say Max runs like a deer in Barcelona, and a fox runs across the track at the Brickyard, and Sebastian goes after robbers on a Vespa. Wow. We shall explain all, gladly. Back to you, El Jefe.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, happy birthday to me. Max, back on top. Perez, pissed off. Vettel, again on a scooter, this time chasing thieves and Barca. LCH, he thinks he'll be back on the podium in a couple of weeks. And Dixon, on pole for the greatest race on earth. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the F1 Weekly front page. You know you'll want to. I want to thank everybody who has in the past. Gracias, muchas gracias. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. We have motorsports from Indiana to Viva España. And this Sunday we have crown jewel of Formula One and the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indy 500. So I am loving life. How are things on the left coast?
Absolutely wonderful. Celebrated my birthday along with Rubens Barrichello, his father, and Brian Herta. So all pumped up over here at the Palatial Studios. A lot of confetti on the floor and empty bottles of liquor.
Very good, very good. So you are surrounded by serious winners of motorsports. Brian Herta and Rubens Barrichello. Very impressive. And, of course, congratulations and welcome to the 50s. Fabulous 50s, I should say, Mr. President.
Yep, I'm so happy to be 50 all over again. And I'm pretty much going to be 50 until I kick the bucket.
Okay. Okay, well, let's hope we do 1,001 podcasts before you kick the Coleman product, okay?
Gracias.
Sir, I have to say, the Bulls do well in Spain from Pamplona to Barcelona. On Sunday, it was love on the rocks for Charles Leclerc. Did you enjoy the major race, sir?
Absolutely. I love Barcelona. I love the wind that affects the race and qualifying. It's just a great track, and everybody knows this track like the back of their hand. So it's great. I love it. Everybody has the same advantage because everybody practices here. And it's very warm. It's 98 degrees in España.
Yes, yes, sir. But, sir, today we have a fully loaded in-flight paella instead of a burrito. So before we get into the nitty-gritty gazpacho details of the Spanish Grand Prix, let's do a little quickie on the collie. Q1, misery loves company. Both double and quadruple champions, Nando and Seb, out in Q1. Leclerc was the fastest as he was in all three free practice sessions. Very, very good for him. Q2, Max fastest, no surprise. Leclerc 7th, big surprise. Lando Norris's lap time was deleted and he was demoted to 11th on the grid. His misery was Mick Schumacher's glory as he moved into Q3 for the first time in his F1 career. His teammate, K-Mac was fifth fastest. And now we come to Q3, and the new Il Leone, Leclerc, takes pole from Mighty Max. Row 2 signs a new hustler in town, hustler and gunslinger, George Russell. Row 3 featuring the old and new number 2s, maybe not so fast, but it was Perez and LCH on Row 3. Row 4 was comeback kings, Bottas and K-Mac. The Dane out-qualified his Deutschen teammate in 10th by over half a second. Very, very impressive going by Mr. Kevin Mag. As far as the second coming of Schumi is concerned, I have to say, go Mickey to keep your seat in GP. And Daniel Ricciardo, another man under the gun, was 9. So Mr. Rogers, your take on Colli, what you like, what you did not like?
Well, Fernando out in Q1, Vettel, I mean, the old men of the sea, but it's always like this. I mean, there's not much I can do. I mean, I remember the Rubinho hanging on, and, you know, in the end, the way they forced Schumi to retire, it was probably a good plan, even though he came back in sort of stinky way, but I think term limits is the next phase for Formula One.
You know, they have term limit in Hape Dos, which is now called Formula 2, because if you win the championship, you cannot repeat in the series. But I don't think they should have that in Formula 1. Maybe an age limit, like in the US, if you turn 65 and you are flying for a major airline, you have to retire on the spot. No exceptions, unless they've changed the law in the last few years. So they can have something like that, you know, so new people get chances, you know, the Piastris of the world. And, so I don't like the term limit that, you know, if you win 3 times, you have to retire. But age-wise, it might be a good idea. And, you know, we've been talking about Nando and Sebastian. They have nothing to prove. Now rumors are getting so hot that it's probably true. The news is that Sebastian Vettel will be replaced at Aston Martin by muy macho hombre de Oviedo. Do you like that, sir?
Well, you know, the reason why that is a very important topic for me is because, well, we're moving one senior and bringing in another senior citizen. So that means they have to keep the chamber pot and the assisted living for the senior citizens that Vettel had implemented in his boudoir. So, whatever. I mean, I'm running out of funny things to say about the old men of the sea. But yeah, I mean, I can't believe Aston Martin would go for Fernando. I mean, dude, there's a born-on date on drivers. Let's get the young whippersnappers that's so hungry. He wants to prove everything to the world. Fernando, you know, he probably has some deep-seated resentment and wants to think that maybe one day he'll be champion again. It's not going to happen, guys. Stop it. I'm done.
Yeah, you know, Lawrence Stroll, I don't know what the agenda is. No shortage of money there, but, you know, some years ago car became a pink Mercedes. Now they're calling it a green Red Bull. I mean, it's just, you know, copying here, copying there. But the interesting thing is, like Red Bull said, Christian Horner said, their head of aerodynamics, Dan Fellows, left. So it's no surprise that from the mind of Dan Fellows, they are using the concept he had at Red Bull. So that's no surprise. But so much for Nando. Now we shall move to the race. And before I go any further, my congratulations on Machismo winning his home Grand Prix by finishing 9th. That must have made you very happy.
And that's sad, because it did make me very happy. But now, yeah, it's very sad. When I'm happy with 9th, it's over. I'm back to Dijon-Prenois, 79. I think I'm just going to watch old movies, old races, and pictures of me when I was younger.
Yes, sir. And you know, when your teammate does not finish the race, Max has issues, technical issues, goes off track, and you're driving a car that your teammate is fighting for the championship, and you still cannot win the race, that's pretty sad. and Max coming through to win, which really did not surprise me. But for that, I have a musical take on this, and this comes from a Brian Ferry song and goes like this. I won't sing it, but I'll just read it. Midnight train rolling down the track, taking all my dreams, never coming back. That's what Lewis Hamilton did to many drivers, and now we have a regime change, and Max will do the same. I knew sooner or later, maybe around halfway through the season, there will be a change of championship lead, maybe not for till the end of the season, but I expected some seesaw. But in 6 races, Max has overturned a 46-point deficit into a 6-point championship lead. I can only say, good evening, Mr. Leclerc. Max is like a runaway Dutch freight train. As long as he is a Red Bull driver, the number 2 will always be in the caboose. Sergio Perez and many others have experienced this, and others will find out when there is a change of personnel at the next platform. And let's not forget, Mr. Rogers, I was thinking about you. Lady Luck, like Kelly Piquet, has changed partners. Max went into the kitty litter, but was not stranded like LCH in Shanghai back in 07. His DRS was not working properly, and he was agitated and frustrated. And my favorite part during the race was Max saying to his team, "You can't even get the DRS to work properly." But then Lady Luck put a spell on Leclerc, and Max scored win number 24, which is one more than Nelson Piquet. I don't think I need to say senior here, because the junior never won a race in Formula One. The way Max's freight train is going, he will surpass Senna's number of wins, 41, next season. And all this at the ripe old age of 25. Ain't that a fact, Mr. Rogers? What say you?
It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome that Max is young and pushy, but machismo. You're right. He's going to be around for a long, long time, and he's taken full control of Red Bull. And Checo should know that. I know he's pissed off about the team orders, but Checo, I think they're going to have to let him have a few wins that doesn't deter from Max's championship, because Checo deserves the wins. Not only that, but they haven't been able to find a driver that has been able to match and help Max win the championship as well as Checo. So I think Checo has done himself great favors. Getting pissed off is fine. A lot of people do that. We remember the Barrichellos and the other number 2s in the past. That's very normal. But it's a great gig. Don't fuck it up. Back to you.
Well, you know, earlier you were talking about the bucket list. And I have 2 items in Formula One for me before I kicked, you know, a mighty fine Coleman product. One is I want to see Lewis get number 8. Number 9 would be even better, but I definitely want to see him number 8 one of these years. And the other is, I want to see Max win more races than Lewis, or whoever has them. Well, nobody's going to have the number of wins Lewis has, except Max. I would like to see that happen in my lifetime. And I think it can happen as long as he has a package, as we call it here, so he can deliver the goods. But, you know, it's a long way off, long season. We shall see. But I'm just so happy we have seen such incredible talents, because, you know, you and I are coming from a time where I never thought Jackie Stewart's record will be broken of 27 Grand Prix wins. Fangio's record of 5 wins was never going to be touched. And as my friend, fan of Schumi, used to remind me on a regular basis, that Schumi had in succession the number of wins Fangio had. And that's just amazing times we have seen. Okay, sir, now we're going to move on to your favorite, Checo. Number 2 was 2nd. And he really needs to. You said he's a little P.O., but he needs to Checo on his P.O. Because, you know, the team orders, nobody likes them. But if you look at the big picture, the team is trying to win a championship. So they're going to do what they're going to do. And at the end of the day, they are the employers. They will make the call. And I have to say, Max was gracious enough to say, "Thanks, mate." He should have been trifle polite and said, should have said, Gracias, amigo. But thanks, mate, is the same thing as he passed by. Now, Sergio may have a point, but I think at this stage of his career, this is the best opportunity he has to win races in a very good team for the long haul. And like you said, once Max wraps up the championship, hopefully way before the final race, then maybe they will give him the opportunity to win a few races. But finishing second to Senna's and Schumacher's of the world is no shame. But messing with Dr. Marco is a losing proposition, that's for sure. Why bite the hand that's feeding you very well both on and off the track? Which does not mean that he should not express his frustration, which I'm totally fine with that. Unlike most of Max's teammates, Perez does not run in a different time zone, and that in itself is very, very impressive. But as our good friend H. Rospero used to say, sometime you just have to suck it up. Just look it up in the books written by Rubinho and Bottas. Do you agree with me? Well, I'm basically agreeing with you, so I shouldn't be asking you, do you agree with me? But do you have any more thoughts on the Checo situation?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, Checo has been around. He's not a young man anymore. And getting the Red Bull gig was a dream come true, and he knows that. He's got the car. He's got the pace. And not only that, but this is great for Mexico. We want people from other countries winning Grand Prix because it brings more excitement to that country. And when we go to Mexico, it's full-blown in-flight burrito. So I love it. I think it's great. We need more Mexican drivers. And Checo is definitely, you know, I'm very proud of him. I have to admit, I am very proud of him. I remember Button complaining and bitching about how crazy he was and aggressive he was and maybe not fair, but that's because he was trying to be machismo. So I think Checo is awesome, and eventually I'm sure he'll become a pundit on motorsports in the Televisión 48.
Interested. Yeah, you know, I have a lot of respect for him because, you know, Mr. Rogers, once upon a time I was at the NEC Autosport show going back many years, and I ran into Joe Ramirez. And at that time, Sergio Perez was a whippersnapper coming through the system, and so was Esteban Gutierrez. And I asked him who is a better driver, and he said, Esteban is faster for sure. And that was true, because Esteban's junior career is very impressive. And Sergio Perez never won a championship in Europe, okay? And I think he finished second to Pastor Maldonado in Rapidos in his second or third year. But he has really, really applied himself, kind of like Graham Hill, somebody who was not a real natural talent like Jim Clark, but he dedicated himself. You know, he has been living in Europe since his Formula BMW days. And I remember him from those days too. So he was not much on the radar, but he has really, really, he has done enough now to be a bona fide professional driver who will be wanted by team without the financial support of Carlos Slim and Tel Max, which never hurts when you're bringing $10-15 million. But I have a lot of respect for him, and I think he should stick with Red Bull. He'll win a few races. But I gotta say something, if you look at his time and the points, he's not far behind Max with some clever strategy and thinking like Niki Lauda and Alain Prost. There is a slight chance that he can become world champion with Max as a teammate, but it will take a lot of divine intervention and kablamos for Max for that to happen. Okay, sir, now we move on to the man who should have won the race, something that even Max has acknowledged, and that is Monsieur Monaco Charles Leclerc. He said, no, 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 what happened? He asked his team as the prancing horse ran out of pace and fury. This was his race, but these things do happen, unfortunately, in motor racing. And if I remember correctly, Mr. Rogers, it was at the very same track that Mika Hakkinen lost victory on the final lap. Fastest in all three practice sessions, Leclerc took pole position and was headed for smooth sailing and winning in Spain. But instead of enjoying some paella for dinner, he got an early serving of what the late great Niki Lauda used to call spaghetti culture. And that was music like Verdi's Four Seasons to Max's Ears and Championship Defense. This could be the, it's too early in the season, but it could turn out to be the Arrivederci moment for Scuderia Ferrari championship hopes for this season. Now, FIA has announced there will be no replacement for Russian Grand Prix, so we will have 22 races this season. So there is still a lot of races available and points available for Leclerc to lead the Ferrari charge. But having such a formidable and ferocious competitor as Max, Scuderia Ferrari cannot afford more trips to the DNF chapel or driver mistakes. Now, what would have really helped when he had a 46-point lead was a solid wingman, but that hombre, unfortunately, is losing altitude, so Leclerc has no choice but to go mano a mano against Max. Next race is on the street where Charles lives, and we all know pole position pretty much dictates race finish position in that Grand Prix. He will have to repeat his quali performance from last season and not have the repeat of race day. All coming up, Sunday. Mr. Rogers, did you feel sorry for Charles Leclerc, or were you gloating in glory?
I did feel sorry for Charles Leclerc, but you know what? Leclerc is the leader of this team. He's going to get him back on track. I am very impressed with Leclerc. You know, he's a young man, but to lead Ferrari is not an easy task. It takes machismo-ness, it takes testicles, and a few other things. So, Leclerc is a star as far as I'm concerned. His driving is very, very good. His dicing with R Max is wonderful and fair. So, I'm very proud of him. I'm happy for him. I mean, he's not somebody who's suffered in life growing up in Monaco, but he did lose his father when he was young, so even the elite suffer occasionally. So, no, this is going to be a great Grand Prix, and I don't care about all those anti-Monaco people. Listen, folks, okay, the race is really in qualifying, but you got to finish the race. Things happen, and if there's rain, you never know. It's even more exciting. So, folks, I'm pro-Monaco. I want to keep Monaco. I think they just need to expand the pit area, do a little construction, and make Liberty Media happy. But I think Monaco is here to stay forever and ever and ever. So there you have it. But it's going to be exciting. And damn, I love Monaco. I just like the lap. I like the qualifying. I like everything about it. I like the champagne. I like the chicks. I like the amber room. I like Flavio. I'm all for it, Ness.
What about Snoop Doggy Dogg?
I don't think so, Nasser. So this is the deal. Justin Bieber has been banned by Ferrari from purchasing Ferrari. I think if you smoke weed every day, you should be banned from F1. But if you're cool and smoke weed every day, I'm with it, man. So we'll see what happens. But Snoop Dogg, you know what? He's cool. I apologize, Snoop. Come on down, and if you see my front page, please donate, Snoop. I know you can.
Yeah, like you said, you know, if you're cool and you smoke weed, then maybe you should paint your Ferrari green. Okay, sir, back to serious stuff. Next, sir, we're going to talk about the man who I think should have been the driver of the race, and that's King George. He was helped by Max's DRS working like an intermittent wiper, but still a great job. His tremendous and clean dicing with Max proves that no matter how good you are, competition will catch up one day. Russell got on the podium for the second time this season, and he has finished all six races in the top five this season. And like I said, he should have been voted of the driver of the day, but award went to his teammate Esper, a Formula One fan, so no problem there. Now, George is from King's Lynn, but it is obvious he is not going to lay over and play Misty Botas for King Lewis. You know what is interesting, Mr. Rogers, talk about decisions. George Russell had signed with BMW to race in Tintops. Then came the call from Mercedes Junior Program. The faith they have put in each other has now been rewarded very well. So I am looking forward to some cage rattling at Mercedes this season. I thought it will happen towards the second half of the season, just as I thought with Ricciardo joining Seb at Red Bull. I was proven wrong then, and hopefully I will be proven wrong again, and we will enjoy intra-team rivalry and cage rattling at Mercedes soon. Okay, sir, Carlos Sainz Jr. is next. Though he finished fourth in his home Grand Prix, the question has to be asked, when will he be the phoenix for the prancing horse and rise to challenge Max and his teammate? A lot was expected from him on home turf, but there he was in the kitty litter early in the race, and just like Max, he was lucky to keep on trucking. After a stellar season last year, not sure what has happened to Carlito in 2022. There was even talk of him being numero uno at Ferrari. His fellow numero dos at Red Bull is looking much stronger than him. I'm not sure if he's mentally messed up and now trying very hard to catch up to Leclerc. He may have the comfort of a new contract with Ferrari, but he really needs to put together a racing weekend soon, because we all know how valuable the F1 contracts are. A quick call to a Jacobian Myers in Geneve will end up in seat swapping. What say you, Senor, on the Sainz situation?
Well, it's a tough one. You know, his father, I'm sure, is involved with trying to help him get through this mental fatigue, because I think he's a great driver. I mean, he's proven himself. And not only that, but he's a great guy. I mean, his personality is very sweet and loving. I think he's just having what we call a funk in the music business. He's stuck in a funk. And once he gets out of it, I think we're going to see some progress, and it's going to happen very soon. Yeah, I'm pulling for him. I like Sainz Jr., and all of us want him to succeed. And I think Ferrari does as well. They're being very patient. They signed the contract. I think Sainz will be back as a Machismo replacement for Machismo.
Yeah, I know. He's a very good talent. He was British Formula 3 champion, and he won the World Series by Renault Championship, which was almost as good and competitive as GP2. And I remember, I think, when he was in GP2, making quite a name for himself as a Red Bull Junior, Max was somewhere in this world doing karting. It's amazing how things turn out for different drivers. Okay, sir. Now I say all rise for Sir Hamilton. He was the only one who started on medium tires, but one hit to the body from K-Mac sent LCH to the pits for new set of tires. He wanted to retire the car, which was very surprising, to save engine. Okay, but then he was advised from his employer, keep and do your day job, please. And you know what was interesting? The team said to him, we can grab 8th position. I mean, there are points given for top 10, and they're going to be happy with 8th. But LCH came back strong in the closing stages of the race, even passing Sainz Jr. to take 4th before falling back to 5th. I am convinced there is a lot of winning and hustling left in LCH, and Sunday's performance by both Mercedes drivers gave a good indication that they will be winning races, hopefully before summer break, and we will celebrate Boys of Brackley being back in town, because competition is always good in motor racing. And Mr. Rogers, wouldn't it be nice if in the second half of the season we have Charles Leclerc, Sainz, Max, Sergio Perez, Lewis Hamilton, and George Russell all have won a race this season? And I'm going to tell you, I think that realistically he's too far behind to get number 8. But if this Mercedes package, if they sort out all the issues and turn this into a race-winning machine, between Lewis and George, they will either ruin Max's championship or Charles Leclerc's. What say you, sir?
Well, I think next year is their big moment. They got it. You know, the biggest problem with Formula One, you really need to come out of the box day one with a competitive car. If you're struggling, and you're developing, you're making it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think by the time we get to Monza, I think Ferrari will have a lot of good results. but they're not going to win the championship. But that's all good. Come on, Lewis. Take it easy. Relax. Don't be... Sometimes these things take time. And it's a new car. He needs to get used to the car. And unfortunately, the younger George, King George, adapts a little quicker than the old men of the sea.
Yes, sir. Moving on. Bottas, the ex-wingman, was sixth. He is now the main ace at Alfa Romeo. He has brought the Swiss-based team points in every race except for round two in Saudi Arabia. And you probably saw, like everybody else, pictures of his bums, as he's calling them, in a Colorado spring.
Yep. The bums were facing the moon. I think he was trying to do a little communication with Deep Space Nine.
Yes. And he, on his Instagram, he posted that a lot of people bought that photo and they raised 50,000 euros for charity. Shall we move on to seventh place finish, sir?
Please. It's beginning to become gaseous in here.
Okay. Esteban Ocon was seventh, first of the Alpine drivers in the points. He has scored points in five of the six races. Imola was the only race he was not in the points. Now we come to Lando Norris. He was suffering from not-so-fresh feeling in his throat, but soldiered on to finish eighth. It is not confirmed yet if he will be able to race on Monday in Monaco on Sunday, and there is talk that maybe McLaren will put Oscar Piastri in case Lando cannot race. But time will tell. Oh, now we come to Machismo. The number two at Alpine picked up 2 points by finishing ninth, which was very impressive as he started back of the grid. Amazingly, this was his first point finish since the opening round in Bahrain, where he also finished ninth. As they say in a song from Commodores, time to come in from the rain, and I would like to add, end the pain in the palatial studios. Sir, do you really want to see him at Aston Martin? Yes or no?
No. We need to end this right away. I'm going to send some text messages to Fernando and try to convince him that we must end this. You must move on. We need to see a young whippersnapper at Aston Martin more than anything, because a young, hungry driver could help them sort out some of the issues that they have. So, Fernando, por favor, hasta luego, hasta la vista, hasta la próxima.
Now we come to Yuki Tsunoda. Portimao must have a fresh supply of Listerine, as he seems to be cleaning up his act, both on the track and on team radio, and picked up the final point in Barcelona. You know, with Honda officially gone, I don't know if they are paying any money for him to race this season. They probably are. But big fan of his speed, but he really has not put it all together. Do you think we should see him in Formula One next year?
To be honest, I mean, he's just there for the laughs. He's having a great time. I could tell that Yuki knows he's not going to be there next year, even though he really does want to be there next year, of course. But he's accepted the fact that he's not a Fernando. He's not El Machismo. And you know what? It's a great way to transition into other Japanese racing. Yeah, I like Yuki. I think he's hilarious. Maybe, you know, one day we'll get a good interview from Yuki.
Well, I have a good contact with the PR person at AlphaTauri. She's a very nice Italian lady, and I've stayed in touch with her because she helped us with the Franz Tost interview. Hopefully this COVID nonsense is gone by the time Circus comes to Austin. Because I was told there was no chance of getting a media pass for Miami. And I'm hoping, against hope, that I can get a media pass for Monza. That will make me very happy on the 40th anniversary of my first ever Grand Prix at the same place. So we'll see, you know, what happens. And sir, Daniel Ricciardo was not in the point, but by starting the Spanish Grand Prix, he has now become the most experienced Grand Prix driver from Australia, having started in 216 races. So kudos to Danny Boy. Your final thoughts on the race, sir?
I want Leclerc to bounce back and win in Monaco. I want Ricciardo to bounce back somewhere because his career is almost gone. It's almost finished. It's almost kaput. And I don't know what happened to McLaren. All of a sudden, they looked strong, and then they lost it. So, hey. But and I want Haas to do well, and they're slowly not doing very much, but slowly making me happy.
You know, if Leclerc wins at Monte Carlo, he will retake the championship lead, and this seesaw will become very, very good for the championship. So let's see what happens on Sunday. By the way, I saw that rain is forecasted Sunday in Monte Carlo.
Listen, folks, when there's rain in Monte Carlo, it does only one thing. It separates the big testicles to the little testicles. That's it.
So if it's raining, I predict LCH as the winner, if it's raining. That's what he needs to win the race right now. Rain in the sky and on the track.
Unfortunately, the car that he will be driving will not be doing well in the rain, but the Alpine will become the Panisse winning Ligier. I'm fantasizing now. It's hopeless.
Yeah, it will be interesting, and it's on the same day as the Indy 500, so it'll be very, very exciting.
Oh, my goodness. So why don't we wrap it up, Nass, before we go to MM?
Yes, sir. Let's take a break, and we shall return.
We'll be back after these brief messages.
As they come to lap 76, closing up on De Angelis, and Arnoux pops out and has a look. That's Jody Scheckter in the background has been lapped. Arnoux has another look. And Villeneuve locks up his tyres. He is trying very, very hard indeed. Fourth gear. Up into fifth when they go over the crest of the hill, up to 160, 165 miles an hour as they come down to the right-hander at Villeroy. And it's there that they can pass, and Arnoux's going to do it. René Arnoux is challenging for second as they come up to Villeroy, but Villeneuve will not give way. Arnoux's got the inside line and the shorter line. And he takes second place as they go into the right-hander and the left at Sablier. And now Renault's indeed are first and second in the French Grand Prix. And the French crowd is going mad, roaring in the background. Now, this is incredible. The twin-turbo Renaults appeared at Monaco, not their circuit. And now we're into the start of the 79th and last lap but one with René Arnoux second and Villeneuve go. Incredible! Villeneuve stood on everything, locked up his tyres, got the line, and he's back into second position on the last lap but one, and the French crowd aren't very happy about that, and who can blame them? This is incredible. This is the 79th lap in this 80-lap historic French Grand Prix, the oldest Grand Prix of them all. This is the 65th Grand Prix, and there has never been a more exciting battle for a major position than this one with such French interest. Jabouille still ahead. And he's closed right up on Villeneuve, and he's going to try again. They're coming into the start of the last lap behind Jochen Maas in the A2 Arrows. And Arnoux does it, does he? And Villeneuve locked up. And Villeneuve has had to go wide, and Arnoux's on the inside as they go round Villeroy. He's got the shorter line. He's got second position. He's got second position. He's through. They bang wheels. He's off. He's off. And he's back again. René Arnoux off the circuit and back again, and he's and now Villeneuve's in second position, and this is the last lap. And Villeneuve goes over the corrugations, and he nearly loses the front as they go up to Parabolique on the 80th and last lap. And he's back, he's in second position. Villeneuve is second in the Ferrari. Down to third position goes Arnoux. To La Bretelle, 80th. 80th lap in this 80-lap race. And there's less than a third of it to go. Now, can Arnoux, on the tremendously fast La Combe, Cour de Poix section, 150 miles an hour, get past? They go past Jochen Maas, and Jabouille wins. Jean-Pierre Jabouille has won in the Renault. Who is going to be second? Villeneuve is at the moment. Arnoux is in third position. Into the Cour de Poix they come. There is Riccardo Patrese, and Villeneuve is second. Arnoux is third. Behind them and lapped are Jochen Maas and Jody Scheckter. And an incredible, heart-stopping French Grand Prix.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We stay in Barcelona with Formula 2 Acción. Sprint race Saturday won by Brazilian Felipe Drugovich. Amerikanski Logan Sargeant from Boca Raton FLA was third. He is under the wings of Williams Racing for a double whammy in Spain. Formula 3 race, race 1 on Saturday was won by local hombre David Vidalis with Jack Crawford from Houston, Texas second. He is in Field Marshal Helmut Marko's Bataan Battalion. Their motto is dominate or disappear. And like little sister in the night light fantad in Georgia, Dr. Marker don't miss when he aims the gun. And you know how that goes. Just ask Liuzzi or Speed or Al Ghazwari and many, many more. Sir, Indy qualifying, Scott Dixon from New Zealand on pole with the new fastest qualifying speed. And this is his fifth pole position. And Mr. Castro Neves is going for win number 5, which would put him one ahead of A.J. Foyt, Alonso Sr., and Rick Mears from Bakersfield, California, but now living in Jupiter, Florida. Good for him. More action in Barcelona, Formula W, the series for ladies. This was a case of London calling. The podium was claimed by English ladies. Jamie Chadwick was the winner, followed by Abby Pulling and Alice Powell. Chadwick won both the series championship held so far and also won both races in Miami. She is leading the championship this year, 75 points to 38 over Abby Pulling. Man, if she can win 3 championships in a row, that'll be very, very impressive. Okay, sir, now we're going to do a little teammate Formula One comparison. Red Bull, we are on podcast 940. I think if we make it to podcast 1040 from a palatial nursing home, Max will still be their love child, and with good reason, thanks to his speed and racing style of pushy real good. Many a challenger has been put in the second seat, but they all turn out to be paper tigers, if not paper roses. Or as Dr. Marco said about Pierre Gasly, trying to reinvent the car. Which is a pretty low blow, I have to say. And he also made a comment about Gasly that he doesn't like to overtake. I mean, that should kill your Formula One career team if the team principal feels that way. So far, Max has factored in more wins than Leclerc, and he is leading Red Bull's charge of the Light Brigade to go 2-for-2, which is looking very, very strong right now. You know, Max has won last three races and last 4 of the 5 races. So he's pretty serious business. Teammate Checo staying in close company than any other teammate Max had, but is still winless this season, but did take his first pole position in 2022. And doing that against Mighty Max is very impressive, I must say. Now we come to the cream jolly giant monster, Aston Martin. At least the paint scheme is beautiful compared to last year. The situation here can best be described by borrowing a line from a Diane Schur song, Lost, Hopelessly Lost. Between Mr. Greenpeace and Mr. Greenbucks, what we have here is a driver who is now beyond sell-by date, while the other may have gotten the FIA approval to race, but never got the FDA approval to be put on the winning shelf. With all the money Lawrence Stroll is throwing at the team and the palatial new building, he can hire the very best in young talents, like Oscar Piastri. But I guess blood is thicker than water from Alice Springs, if you know what I mean, Mr. Rogers. Now we come to the most interesting situation this day and age. Mercedes, looks like Boy George has the pace to be on top of Toto's billboard. Time will tell how soon he can go full Jagger on his teammate and claim, under my thumb, he's the sweetest Roscoe in the world. The change has come or is coming very soon. Sir, at the end of the season, who do you think will have more race wins, Lewis or George?
George, for sure. Positive.
Okay, George may have more points, but I think Lewis will have more wins than George. And we'll see. McLaren, they have their own version of Seb in Daniel Ricciardo, but their driver is ever smiling instead of ever whining. This has been a very sad story, though. Here is a driver who clipped Seb's wins at Red Bull, now finds himself lost, but not hopelessly lost. In terms of making team choices, one gets the impression perhaps Danny Boy was advised by a certain two-time world champion. Since last season, Lando Norris has been the hombre at McLaren, despite the only win in many years was delivered in style by the smiling assassin in Parco Monza. Now, if you remember, Mr. Rogers, Daniel Ricciardo took the lead from Max at the start and never looked back, so that was very impressive. The 2022 season is not even halfway done. There is already chatter on the web that Danny Boy may be replaced for next season. Zak Brown is very keen to bring an American driver or a driver from IndyCar side. While we at F1 Weekly do not wish anybody any ill will, but based on past performance, one can only caution, be careful what you wish for just might come true, and you may end up singing the blues. What say you, amigo?
Well, you know what? I was a big Alex Zanardi fan. Huge. What he did in IndyCar was awesome. And when he went to Williams, I mean, I was pumped. I was ready. I got my Williams hat, and we had Ralph Schumacher, half Schumacher. And I thought Alex was going to just clean everything up. It was going to be awesome. And it didn't turn out like that at all. It was a complete disaster. So you're right. Be careful for what you wish for, because it could get pretty ugly out there.
Yeah, and you know what people don't remember or seem not to bring it up? There was this Brazilian driver, Cristiano Da Mata, who was very successful, won the championship, and then he spent, I think, 2 years with Toyota. I mean, he was nowhere to be seen. So it's a Formula One is a tough nut to crack. And it's definitely, especially this day and age, nobody's going to wait for a season and a half for you to get going. And that's where people like Colton Herta and Pato Ward may have an advantage that Zak Brown may, not guaranteed, but may be willing to wait for these people to gel. But, you know, we wish everybody all the best, and what's going to happen is going to, we'll find out when the checkered flag goes down. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so now we come to famous last words. Today they come from a driver called Christmas Dinner, also known as Christian Danner. He commented on Sebastian's antics in Miami and said, and I quote, "When he makes fun of these FIA underwear requirements and then jumps around in the pit lane with his pants on, then I have to say, honestly, it's kindergarten," end quote. Mr. Rogers, can you imagine world champions like Fangio, Clark, Senna, Schumacher? These were very different characters, but none of them would have behaved like this. We live in a different age now where young guns are butting ahead with their own agenda. And on that cheeky note, we zip up this edition of MM Motorsports Mondial. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the day, evening, afternoon, whatever the local time is. And let's all enjoy Monaco and Indianapolis 500. Thank you.
Nass, thank you so much. You are correct. Vettel is sort of a funny guy, but he's finding himself. He's moving around, and he won't be in Formula One much longer. It's done. So is Fernando. So on that note, you know what? These guys have great careers ahead of them, and for some reason, nobody points it out. That's the frustrating thing for me. And maybe one day I will become an ambassador helping Formula One champions to transition to normal life. There's money to be made there, my friends. So anyway, I want to thank everybody who listens. I want to thank everybody who helps us financially. We appreciate that because we are very dirt poor. Thanks for listening. Good night.